Joe time, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. Monday edition, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. The dog watcher, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a great start to your day so far. What's up, JoJo?
How does Robbie Stanley sit in the studio when it's 107 degrees?
Because Robbie believes that cold shouldn't exist.
Well, I'm with him on that, right? But at the same time, he should do a show from a sauna, and he would have no problem. All right, better now. Feels good. Feels better in my
life. I'm glad. I'm glad you feel better. How was the weekend?
Weekend was good. It was unfortunate. Went down to Memphis. Saw MTSU lose to Memphis. The Liberty Bowl, which I love that because it's just an old stadium, but they've cut it in half and they're building suites in there.
Oh, cool.
And it looks kind of cool. So from the press box, you see Mid-South Coliseum, and I sent you guys a picture. I was like, man, that's where dreams were made. That's where good defeated evil every Saturday morning and Saturday night.
We love old historic landmarks. That's like the Liberty Bowl and like Greg Pogue.
Yeah, and like Greg Pogue and Mid-South Coliseum. I mean, we started – so there was a guy there who did not know the history of Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler. He's a young guy. So I showed him YouTube clips, and he was just mesmerized. He says, is that all real? I was like, as long as you believe it's real, it's all real. So Andy Kaufman and Memphis and Jerry Lawler. But, you know, it's unfortunate because sitting there watching the middle game, and on the screen next to me was the Alabama-Georgia game. You turn it on, it's 30-7 at halftime. I was like, oh, this thing's over with. And then one of the engineers comes running in and goes, are you watching this game? And I thought he meant the MTSU game. I'm like, I'm trying not to. Then he said, the Alabama game, you turn on, and that's when Alabama had just gone down and scored in the fourth quarter. And what a ball game, man. What a game. And I heard Robbie and Joe talking about Georgia done. I think they're empowered now. I think Georgia's empowered. They go on the road and think they could have beat Alabama with a comeback. I think Georgia's empowered.
Yeah, I don't know what to think yet, to be honest with you. I was at the Predators game, the preseason game. They won that one like 6-0, so that was fun. But I watched, you know, they had it on in the club, and I was watching it and watched the end of it. And, look, I think everybody owes Alabama an apology right now. You know, everybody, including myself, thought that when Nick Saban retired, like, oh, they're going to take a step back. Yeah. You know, they're not going to be very good anymore because the wizard's gone. They look pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know if I would have made them the number one team. I think that was a little bit of you know, oh, they just knocked off the mighty Georgia, so let's make them number one. I kind of felt like it should have been Texas, but that's just my opinion. But I think you can take the top four teams, throw them in a bucket, and then pull them out whatever order, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, I just kind of think that's where
we are right now. I'm not sold on Ohio State yet. I got to see them.
Yeah, play. I'd give you that. I'd probably put Ohio State behind Texas, Bama, and Tennessee at this point in time.
Yep.
But a lot can change. I mean, ask Ole Miss.
Ask Ole Miss, man, and they fall.
They look like Ole, another name that some people call them.
Yeah, I mean, it's back to Kiffin again. I mean, what's he done? What's he won? Nothing. I mean, he's got the best team portal money could buy, and then they all went up in flames last night.
Was that a product of Kentucky's better than people thought they were, or is that a product of – Ole Miss underestimated and just kind of went, kind of slept walk into it.
I think all that. I think they underestimated. I think the Georgia game should have been a wake-up call for Kiffin and all those guys, and it wasn't that way. And then just watching that game go down, you text me like, oh, my gosh, the field goal. Then I turned it on there and saw. I was like, oh, man. But they're done. I mean, they're out. I mean, it's just they might make the 12, but they've been exposed big time.
I mean, they're going to have to pretty much be – I mean – look, I think Georgia's going to have to win out. I mean, maybe there's one more loss on the schedule. It just depends on how everything else goes. But, you know, Georgia's got the gauntlet of a schedule that they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, Texas.
They definitely have the – at Texas.
Yep.
So.
It'll be something, man, to see. It's crazy. Another crazy weekend.
You're right over there?
I am okay. Things are good, man. Hey, Dr. Crane. Dr. Crane found a stray dog in the parking lot today.
Pretty dog. It's got a thing tricolor. Uh-huh. Like a little the khaki brown along with the white, and then maybe had a little bit of like blackness around its eyes. I don't know.
All right, so this is the text we get. I'm on the way, Joe's on the way. Dr. Crane gets here. Picture of this dog, stray dog in the parking lot, heads up, no collar. And I told him, I laughed, because it's really not that funny of a text. And then I've seen the dog before. Like, I knew who the dog was. And I laughed, and everybody's like, why are you laughing? And I go, because I can just see Dr. Crane out there just whistling, like, here, boy, here, boy.
I did feel a little bad, because, like, he was just sitting around the dumpster looking for something to eat, and I just felt bad, and, you know.
Well, what's your call out to a stray dog? Hey, yo, come here. What do you call? How'd you do it? How'd you get him over?
I just go, hey. That's all I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did the dog run off?
No, it just sat there, watched me walk into the building. You know,
but that's the last contact you had with said dog.
Yeah, listen, right. It's a stray dog. I don't know where it's been. I don't know if it had its shots. I try not to, you know, impede on its day.
All right, what if it tried to fight you?
Then we'll have a problem.
Then it's on.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
I like that. Well done with all that. Big game tonight down in Miami. Titans look to be the worst football team continuing the National Football League tonight. And
no, I think the Jags are the worst football team.
I don't think – I think the bad streak continues tonight for them down there.
I don't feel good about it by any means. So we'll obviously talk about that. Brett Kern going to join us at 9:30 today. We will talk about the Titans, get you set up for that. I really don't know. I mean, this is just – I'm at the point with this football team where I'm like, I have no idea. They could go out and put 40 up and win 40 to nothing. I doubt that, but – I don't know with this team anymore.
I was listening to another guy talk about the Titans. He's like, well, you know, Jeffrey Simmons can just take over a game.
I don't think he's playing.
But has he ever taken over a game?
No.
I was like, what? It's the old narrative. Like, you barely study the team, and you're like, Simmons can do all that. No one, he's not.
He took over a practice, not a game.
He did, and didn't get thrown out. And that was the moment I knew Brian Callahan.
He took
Callahan.
Over a media member.
That's right. That was the moment we knew Brian Callahan was in way over his head, and I still think Brian Callahan is still way over his head, and he'll be exposed again tonight.
So let's see. The injury report, Simmons is listed as doubtful. He hasn't practiced all week with an elbow, so I doubt he plays. L'Jarius Sneed, Imani Hooker are listed as questionable. They were both limited on Saturday. Imani Hooker has been – limited all week. L'Jarius Sneed did not practice Thursday, was full Friday, limited Saturday. So we'll see there.
He practices full on Friday, then he's limited?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. And then the Dolphins have a ton of injuries. Taron Armstead's out with a concussion. Kendall Fuller, the corner's out with a concussion. David Long, we know David Long. He is doubtful. And then Raheem Mostert, Skylar Thompson, Malik Washington are all questionable. And then a report came out this morning that Mostert is likely to not play tonight.
Ooh.
So they'll be without Raheem Mostert. They're fine running back. And as Robbie pointed out on the show this morning, there is a player named Storm Duck listed on the injury report for Miami. A fantastic name for a Florida team.
That's a pretty good name. Storm Duck, yeah. So both injuries on both sides, and you know, the Dolphins with the Tyler Huntley starting at quarterback tonight. Titans have kind of an upper edge with the offense, a better offense. So again, it's a place Will Levis had like a little coming out party on the Monday Night Football game last year. So we'll see if he can repeat that. That'd be great for the team to go in, and you know, they're, you know, if they win tonight, they're only still two games behind the Texans.
Yeah, right,
season's not over.
Yeah, and look, let me tell you this: the AFC South. It's not very good.
No, it's not. It's terrible. It's not good at all. And the Colts got a big win over the Steelers, though, so good for them.
Joe Flacco.
On that, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. I'm not going to lie to you. I saw, like, I watched that. Yesterday was a fun day because I just watched Red Zone all day. And then I flipped over and, you know, watched the end of the Colts game, and I just was going, man, Joe Flacco. Like, that – like, watch him win the division with the Colts. You know, Richardson's hurt again, and watch him just, you know, win the division. But I have to admit this. So remember that I kind of made a declaration about a month or so ago that it was time to let Derrick Henry go, that we were moving on. Like, he had moved on. Yeah. It's time for us to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I had that moment last night, though, when I'm watching that game, and I don't know if he – I think it was at, like, 199 or something like that, you know. And I'm watching him, and I just go, why in the hell did they let this guy go? I don't think you wanted to come back.
I really don't think you wanted to come back.
No, and it was time. Like, it was, you know, you're going in a different direction as a franchise. He wanted to go to a winner and, you know, a contender, and he did that. You know, the Ravens to me are a team that, even though they're only 2-2, that's a good football team.
Well, yeah, they barely lost to the Chiefs. Yeah. The Raiders, I think they took the Raiders for granted when the Raiders came in there in week two. Look, Derrick Henry's where he needs to be.
100%. Offense is going to just get better.
And I can't remember this on the radio broadcast list, that he tied a stat with Jim Brown, and it was like 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, 13 times in a game, or something like that that's happened. And I'm thinking, he's tying all these legendary – he's a Hall of Famer now.
He's a Hall of Famer.
There's not a doubt in my mind. The things he's done, and you cap it off with a Super Bowl, which a championship shouldn't matter, which we all know it does.
24 carries, 199 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns. So I think it's Jim Brown had 13 2-touchdown games over 150 yards, and Derrick Henry tied that last night, according to the radio broadcast.
And one of those was a receiving touchdown, right, that he had last night?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
I don't remember.
Yes, it was.
So, it was. But remember, he's not a receiving back. He can't catch the ball.
That's right. So let's stop with the Titans should have kept him. They were never going to keep him.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be here. Here's something else that I need you guys to stop doing. And they said on the radio last night, well, he's approaching 30. It's about time to slow down. Stop with the I'm turning 30 and you're done narrative. Brady should have shattered that.
He is 30.
So stop it. Yeah. Stop with the I'm 30. Stop with all that stuff. He's 30. And DeAndre Hopkins, well, he's over 30. It's time to No, who says that?
Yeah.
Stop with because you hit 30 years old or a certain number, your life should go to hell. It's not that way. Hell, I'm 55 and I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my life, which isn't saying much, but it's saying something. So stop letting age determine how you think about somebody. I hope he plays till he's 40, so y'all will shut up about this.
I do, too, and I hope he wins a Super Bowl. Like, I can't stand the Ravens. It sucks that he went to the Ravens, but that was the perfect place for him to go. Because, like, you watch it last night, there were so many plays where Lamar either is about to hand off to Derek and then he keeps it, or, like, you have to keep – he keeps everybody guessing of who's going to keep the ball, who's going to get the ball. It works perfectly. And, I mean, they're showing it right now on ESPN, the big run he had. Like, that dude shows no signs of slowing down. So
you got to think the Bills hate seeing him, no matter what uniform.
Oh, yeah, because he always just runs on them no other.
Yeah. I saw something last night that he now holds the longest franchise, running, like, in one game. Like, not one game, but, like, one play, like, 87 yards, like, longest run.
Oh, yeah, for the Ravens?
And the Titans now.
And the Titans? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They both, you know, so happened to.
Well, and he was 1 yard short of, I believe, his 7th 200-yard rushing game, which is the most ever. So, and they were trying, too. They even went to the backup quarterback, and Derek was still in the game. And I was listening on the radio, and they go, like, oh, they know what they're doing. Like, everybody and their brother knows that Henry's getting the ball.
Could you tell what's happened? Because some certain play-by-play guy or a color analyst on that game on the radio wouldn't shut up talking about himself. It was driving me crazy.
Was that Golic?
Golic.
Yeah.
I was like, just call the game, pal. You can drop a few dimes here and there. But with that, I thought the 200 yards would have been fantastic for him. But to do that, and now, I mean, Lamar running wild, Derek running wild. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of fun to watch because most of the NFL sucks. It's not fun. Mahomes was fun to watch yesterday, throwing the deep ball and all that. But for the most part, it's bland. The NFL is bland all across.
I got a question on the Chiefs when we come back.
Sure,
yeah, I feel like we're all going to fall for it again. We'll discuss that and much more. Your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. That's your phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Monday, 1025, 106.3.
The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Little Willie bringing us back. Always love that.
What is he, like, 92, 91?
He is the last remaining member of the Highwaymen after Kris Kristofferson passed away yesterday, I believe at the age of 88. So that was sad news. think you're wrong on this one, Dr. Crane.
Am I?
You are.
It showed up under...
Willie wrote this.
Oh. Well, it has him underneath as one of the other people on it, but okay. Never mind.
I'm just
going off what the internet says.
The internet's never wrong. The internet's undefeated.
Never wrong. So if he was 88, how old was he when he was in Blade?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, he was ripped in Blade. He looked good. See, that's another thing. He was probably in his 60s playing in Blade, right?
With
Wesley Snipes, which is a great movie.
I forgot he was in that.
It's a great.
Star is Born.
Yep. So he's probably in his early 60s. He looked fantastic. My word of the year.
Yeah, that is your word of the year. But, I mean, he, you know, was a great artist in his own right, but then the songwriting. You know, me and Bobby McGee, he wrote that. Janis Joplin made it famous.
That's right.
Sunday Morning Coming Down, he wrote that. Johnny made it famous. Help Me Make It Through the Night, fantastic song. There's your word. For the Good Times.
What
I mean,
is?
He had a ton of hits. And then, of course, later on, The Highwaymen with Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, and Willie Nelson.
How many times have you asked the Lord on a late Saturday night, early Sunday morning?
Help me make it through.
How many times?
This past Saturday night's one of them.
Just get me through the night. I promise I'll be good after this.
Yeah, that's
daily
occurrence.
Thank the Lord he doesn't keep score, because I'd be 0 for 78. Oh, my goodness.
I can just see it. Like, you get there, you know, you get to the pearly gates. Like, remember all those times?
He's like, hey, have a seat over here. We'll be right back with you in a moment. Like, oh, God. Then he pulls out me, you, and Ricky's text chain. It's like, well, there's our first problem. Like,
you see what had happened was.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so watching yesterday, and you mentioned it, like, the NFL is just the – you know, I think we just have to accept it is what it is.
Yep.
These days. But I'm watching the afternoon games and the Saints, and they end up beating the Chargers 17-10. And I watched that game, and if you have no idea about what the Chiefs have done so far this year, you're thinking, that's not a very good team. They just lucked up and, you know, won it at the end, which is what happened. I mean, it was 10-10, and they score late and end up winning the game. But isn't that what they always do to us?
That's what they did last year.
They fake us out.
Yep.
It's like, they're going to be exposed. They're not very good. Yeah, they're beatable, and they're 4-0 right now.
You have a cat, right?
Yeah, my mom does.
Cats. You ever see a cat when it gets like a little spider in the house? What do they do with that spider?
They kind of play with it and let it – or a mouse. They make it think, you're going to escape, and then they go in for the kill.
That's what the Chiefs do, man. I was watching the same. I was like, all right, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. And then it happens.
It's a game of cat and mouse.
They just know how to win. And that is so crucial in any sport where they go in thinking, we know how to win this game. Chargers are still trying to do that. But yesterday, that's the thing where, I mean, you get 3rd and 9, he finds Kelce for 10 yards in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's on and on and on with them. And they just, I mean, they are the best team right now. I mean, they beat Baltimore. They're the best team in football.
Well, are they? Or is there another team that's the best team in football? I asked the guys behind the glass if they thought this team was for real, and they were split. So I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota Vikings are 4-0.
No, not at all.
You don't think they're for real?
I got to go. I'm not a history
I from think they're
season
for real.
To season to season. I got to see it over a time, man, because they break your heart. That's a franchise that breaks your heart. Going back to the 70s with Bud Grant and 4 Super Bowls that they got beat in. Until I see them make a nice run, it's hard to. I mean, what was it 2 years ago when they were fantastic?
Yeah.
What is that word again? With and the Giants came in there and beat them.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so until I see it over a time, I can't get into it.
Sure.
They're good. Yeah.
But, I mean, nobody thought they were going to even be in contention, and they're one of two 4-0 teams.
Yep. And they've beat Houston, Green Bay. Who's the other team? Two more teams to beat.
Houston and Green Bay are definitely their biggest wins. They beat the Giants and the 49ers. Oh, yeah. So I'd add that to the list. I mean, 49ers, Texans, and then Green Bay at Green Bay. That's pretty legit.
Not bad. Yeah, okay, I'll give it to you. But I still think it's Kansas City. You know, is Baltimore third? I think Baltimore's third.
I'd probably agree with that. I'd probably agree with that. Steelers got exposed yesterday.
Yep.
I don't think they're great. But that division's not great either. Like, Cincinnati won, but the Panthers hung around in there. Panthers have definitely found something putting Dalton in.
Well, yeah. There's just a lot of bland. You know, I'm excited to see.
Jets are frauds.
They are.
I mean, the Broncos are just as bad. So,
well,
I mean, both teams struggle to win that game.
The other game, Monday Night Football game tonight, Detroit and Seattle, I think both those teams are good. And Seattle could go 4-0, which is like, what in the world? But yeah. Detroit can go 3-1 starting out for those guys. So that's going to be a great.
It'll be a really good game.
And the split Monday Night Football game, why are we doing this? Why?
Okay, so I think it bothers so many people. Like, you're one of them. Like, it's one of those things that just bothers so many people. They hate it. It's like, just give us the one. I don't care. I mean, I'm going to watch, but I'm going to flip back and forth between both games.
Why do we ruin things? Just play the games on Sunday night, and have the one game on Monday. Well, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing. But I'd rather have two Monday night games than a Thursday night game.
Same. Yes.
Like, if you sit me down and Roger Goodell sits us down and says, you guys get to decide, what do you want? You can either have one Thursday night game or two Monday night games. I'm going two Monday night games all day long.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Now, I would have more separation where, like, there's not as much overlap.
East Coast, West Coast?
Yeah, I would do, like, an East Coast, West Coast thing. Or if you have to do, like, a Central team and an East Coast team, you know, at least stagger the kickoffs more than they do now. But, I would rather have two Monday night games than the crap that we see on Thursday.
You're probably too young, but Monday night football games used to come on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
On ABC. And they were, you'd stay up. Mom would let me stay up and watch the game. And the best part of those early
Howard Monday. Howard Cosell.
That's going to say, the best part about those games was Monday night football was when Cosell did the update during the halftime. And it was, that's how you just kind of fell in love, because every game wasn't on TV and you could see other games that were happening, at least the quick highlights of those games. But
it was Frank Gifford, Dandy Don, and then who else?
Cosell.
Yeah.
And then it became, then Namath hopped in there for a little bit, and OJ hopped in there for a little bit, and on and on. But,
and then Al got in there like mid-80s.
But for me, and I'm an old man, but the 70s of hearing Gifford and Dandy Don and Cosell, it's just, God, it makes me smile. I mean, it really makes me smile hearing those voices again. And those games on Monday night back there were just – that was just must watch.
Right.
You watched all that, and you took it in, and it was something to behold. And now you still watch, and they're still popular, but it hit differently back then.
Now, you'll appreciate the great parenting by my father. He taught me very early on Dandy Don's singing Willie Nelson's Turn Off the Lights.
Yeah.
The party's over.
That's great. So I thought he was going to say he taught you how to bet the spread, which would
Well, he taught me that, too.
Which would have been even better.
That's not a lie at all. He definitely explained that to me. Coming up next, we will talk to the great Brett Kern, former Titans punter. He'll join us. We'll preview tonight's matchup between the Titans and the Dolphins. Christofferson, thinking about him today, passing away at the age of 88. We say hello now to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who joins us here on the program. Brett, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Ready for some Monday Night Football. Got the doubleheader tonight. How do you feel about that? As a former player and a football fan, do you think there should just be one game on Monday night, or do you like the doubleheader?
I mean, probably as a fan, you probably like two, right? You get double the football, and you know, you throw a little Manning cast on one, and then, you know, the other one, you don't necessarily have to listen to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And so you kind of, you know, get to mix it up a little bit. And, I mean, as a player, though, you know, Monday Night Football is great just because you know that the whole country's watching. It's a great opportunity to kind of showcase your team and, you know, your talents. To get the extra day of rest is clutch. But, you know, obviously on the backside, you know, to come in the next week, obviously against the Colts, to be short a day of prep isn't the best either. But I promise you, you know, if you watched that Eagles-Tampa Bay game yesterday and, you know, it felt like 110 on the field, right? That's intense. And I remember 2017 when we played at Miami. I think it was Castle. I think it was Cutler was Miami's quarterback. And we had 10 punts. Miami had 9 punts. And I remember in the fourth quarter, I think it felt like 110 on the field. I remember in the fourth quarter, Steve Hoffman, the special teams coach, came over to me. He's like, hey, man, look, if we got to punt this fourth quarter, which we probably will, the way the game's going, like you have to punt it out of bounds. We can't, like, our guys are gassed. We can't cover anymore. Guys are throwing up on the sidelines, you know, dehydrated, cramping. Like, you have to punt it out of bounds. And so to be able to play at Miami, Monday Night Football, not necessarily in the heat of the day down there, but it's a good opportunity for them to kind of showcase, you know, that they're better than 3-0, right? So it's a good opportunity for them to do that.
Brett Kern is with us. Now, you shared with me you have a kind of a cheat sheet that you've come up with that has quarterback ratings, rushing yards, and turnovers, and kind of tells a story right going into a game. Explain to our listeners what all goes into this.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just kind of a casual fan and necessarily, you know, you didn't watch the game or anything like that, these three stats, if you kind of put them together, kind of tell the tale of the game, right, kind of what happened. And so, for example, you know, last year Titans were 6-11. You know, five of their wins came when they won that margin, right? They won, whether they went 3-0, winning the QBR, the rushing, or the turnovers, right, or 2-1, right? There's two games in which they tied, in essence, where, you know, the one team won the against the Colts, they had a better quarterback rating than the Titans, but the Titans, you know, outrushed them by almost 100 yards, right? But there was both had two turnovers, right? So it was 1-1, kind of a coin flip. Things can kind of go your way, maybe not go your way, right? And so, you know, out of the 11 losses, nine of them, they lost that margin, right? And so it's been pretty clear if they can win it, if they can win that margin this year, they're 0-3, right? They went 1-2 against the Bears, won the rushing. They're 1-2 against the Jets. They also won the rushing. And then obviously last week, you know, going 0-3 and, you know, losing all three in that category, right? So they're 0-3 and they're holding true to kind of this stat. And so the only one outlier last year was when they went 0-3 at the Dolphins, but they still have managed to win the game, right? And so you're going to have that, you know, it's even like yesterday, right? Jacksonville at Houston, Jags won two of the categories, right? They won the rushing. They had no turnovers. Houston had won. Houston shouldn't have won that game yesterday, especially having 12 penalties for 93 yards. Like, there's no way. But Houston, is your team good enough? Kansas City, again, they also lost this category yesterday. They went 1-2 against the Chargers. But those two teams, Houston and Kansas City, they're different. They can win. You have Patrick Mahomes. He knows how to win. CJ Stroud has proven himself that, like, hey, you know, last drive of the game, we're going to go down and we're going to score. Against all the odds of maybe not necessarily winning this margin, right? It's not 100%, right? It's not like, hey, this is foolproof. This when this happens, you know, your team's going to win. When this happens, your team's going to lose. Like, there's outliers. Clearly, with the Titans going 0-3 at Miami last year and still coming to win the game, that's like a once in every two or three years that's happening, which is great for your team, right? But obviously, some of these better teams can overcome games that are a little bit closer with this margin. You know, you look at Houston yesterday, Kansas City yesterday, and then even if you take the Buffalo-Baltimore game last night, like Baltimore, they both had one turnover, so that wipes itself out. But Baltimore, you know, Lamar, you know, going for 135 passer rating, rushing for 271 to Buffalo's 81, and Josh Allen, you know, going 73 points, like that kind of result, you know, Baltimore going 2-0, you're going to get that result of that score of 35-10, right? So I just think this is a good margin that I kind of used. It kind of helps me sum up the game a little bit just to kind of see where the QBR is and rushing, you know, because rushing is so important. And then obviously your turnover margin. It's pretty crazy with turnovers too. And the percentages behind that, you know, if you're plus one in the turnover, you have 68% chance of winning. Plus two, it goes up to 82%. Plus three goes up to 91%. And then if you have four more turnovers that you get, right, you have a 97% chance of winning. And so I think all to say that turnovers are huge for the Titans tonight. You know, being -7, being dead last in the league right now, I think is a huge indicator. You could go into O-line play and all that kind of stuff, and that contributes a lot to it. But, you know, to be dead last in the turnover margin this year is a pretty good indicator is why they're 0-3.
Absolutely. We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern. Brett, you played a long time in the National Football League. Was there ever a moment in pregame you knew you were going to lose? And I know we'd say, well, never. But, well, you know, Mante Teo came out and talked about the championship game versus Notre Dame and Alabama. He knew in pregame they were done. And when you go out, I mean, how do you change that mindset around? Because you got a Titans team, people are like, you're terrible. Then you get to Miami, the high-flying Dolphins, and you're looking around like, oh, man, are we in this game? I mean, it's the psychology of football is amazing once you deep dive into it. And how do you get out of that mindset?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, there were probably maybe a couple times where, especially in the years where we went 2-14, 3-13, kind of the basement of the Titans. I think people probably feel like we're in the basement right now, but I those 2 years, you know, with the head ball coach that we had and Wiz, just those were bad. That's, you know, you're driving to work and you're like, this is rough. But, you know, the Titans are better than that. Like, I know we're 0-3, and I get that, and people are upset, and that's very understandably, right? I mean, you're a fan. You pay to go to see the games. You know, you invest in your team. You want them to win, right? But this team is much better than those 2 years of that. And so, I mean, yeah, oh, gosh, you're bringing back some bad memories. But there were some times where, you know, you're in warm-ups, and you're thinking, man, this is going to be tough. Like, you know, how many punts will I have today, right? But you also know too, like, I mean, football is a crazy game in essence. Like, would you have thought, you know, the Raiders would have gone to Baltimore after the way Baltimore's looked over the first four games, right? You're 2 inches away from taking KC to overtime. You know, for the Raiders to go to Baltimore and win how they did, I mean, that, like, would you have thought that?
No.
After seeing Baltimore play like, no, absolutely not. And so I think there's always a time, especially in the NFL, because the talent pool is so good, and yeah, your teams that are really Super Bowl contenders, there's probably four, maybe five at this point in the league, and then you have a lot of mediocre football, which is, you know, you got some pillow fights, you got the Jets, Broncos. I mean, it's just like, who wants to win this game, right? and then you have your team, and then you have your teams that are just kind of, they're the pieces that they have missing are so big that it's really hard to overcome to be able to win football games. You know, on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, whatever, whenever they play them, right? Your deficiencies are so big that it's just hard to win in the league. But, you know, any given Sunday, right? I mean, you never know. And so I think a lot of times when I was playing, it was like, hey, on paper, are we supposed to win this game? Probably not. But, like, you never know if you run a fake punt, there's something big on special teams, momentum. You know, I'm sure the Ravens would love to have that Raiders game back. You never know when a team is kind of coming in overconfident and you can just expose them. Because it doesn't take much. If a team's not 100% with it and you're pretty much firing on all cylinders, you can win that game when you're not supposed to. So, I mean, this is a confident group. I'm excited to watch them play tonight. I'm curious to see, you know, with the Dolphins getting Huntley, who has learned under Lamar for the last 4 years. You know, you kind of go from Malik Willis last week, who was running. Like, does Coach McDonald, does he look at that and say, all right, we're getting Huntley in here. We're going to try to repeat what the Packers did, and let's see if the Titans can stop us, right? All while trying to stop Waddle, Tyreek Hill, right, A-Chain, whatever, whoever they got better on offense. So the Titans need to protect. They need to keep Will up, you know, 15 sacks right now on the year. That's 101 yards they've lost on sacks, right? That's first down. I know I went to Toledo. I'm not really a big mathematician guy, but 10 first downs is a lot. That can make or break a lot, you know, during a game, and definitely over the course of the first three games, right? So they need to protect Will, because I think if you give him time and you allow him to work through his route tree or his progressions, like, he can make the throws, right? And so you give him time, you keep him upright. We've seen glimpses of that, of what he can do when that happens. So run the ball. You need more than 33 yards rushing, you know, to have a chance. And, you know, I'm excited to see what happens tonight.
Let me ask you, did you join the Titans the week after that 59-0 Patriots loss?
Yeah, because I was in Denver, and, you know, it started 6-0, and then I got cut, and I came to the Titans, who were there first on the waiver wire, and so they were 0-6. And I remember thinking, I went from, like, playoff potential to 0-6. You know, what's going on here? And then, of course, then the Titans, you know, we rattled off. We went 8-2. So that year I went 14-2 and didn't go to the playoffs. So, but yeah, when I came, it was very somber in the building, right? And it was like, man, you know, what's going on here? And Baronis was like, hey, man, like, we just lost the last game 59-0 at New England. okay, thanks, Rob. All right, I'll just kind of join in this, you know, kind of have a sad face around the building. And, you know, but then something flipped the switch. You know, your CJ went off, and, you know, you found it's amazing too what a bye week will do. You kind of, you know, that was the Titans bye week, and, you know, start at 0-6. Bye week, you can kind of take time to reset, you know, kind of try something different, look at your tendencies, what can we change up? And, man, it just flipped the switch, and, you know, to finish the year 8-2 was a fun rest of the year.
You know, anyone, Brett Kern is with us, anyone could see that. The Titans' offensive line, they had the struggles last year. They continue to have them. Maybe they're improved in certain areas. But does watching Derrick Henry now behind that Ravens O-line just further prove what an offensive line can do for a football team?
Yeah.
I mean, he's built different. We know that. But you know, yeah. Like, we're seeing vintage Derrick now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole conversation of, you know, the age and, some dudes are just built different. And Derrick's one of those guys. Like, yesterday, you know, last night, watching that first run for 87 yards, and he's pulling away from the corner and the safety. It's like, yeah, Derrick doesn't care if he's 30. He's one of those guys. It just doesn't matter. And so to see the way he ran last night, to see the Ravens, you know, how they were blocking for him, when you have a guy back there like Lamar who can, you know, pull it, run it, RP, you name it, he's just as dangerous as Derrick. You know, it's I'm happy for him, you know, like I've been texting back and forth with him, just, you know, rooting him on and cheering him on. But just to kind of see, you know, how he's running, you know, last week against the Cowboys, this week, you know, obviously last night against the Bills. And, you know, it also helps too to have a 6'3", 300 pound, very athletic fullback and Ricard back there. You thought, man, you know, I have to try to tackle Derrick. Well, now I have this, you know, 300 pound, very athletic fullback also to deal with too. And so, very, very smart signing by the Ravens. That might be the one, because their defense is always going to be their defense. They're just stout. They're athletic. They cause so many problems. You know, but to be able to have Derrick back there, I think, you know, could it be that one element that they've been missing to get past Mahomes and the Chiefs? So I'll be curious to see, you know, how this year goes. But Derrick just, you know, man, it was that was good to see him last night. And, you know, understandably, you know, you can see why he wanted to go somewhere different, somewhere fresh. You know, an offensive line isn't rebuilt overnight, right? It takes time, whether you do it through free agency and through the draft, just to get the five guys that you need. And so, you know, I think for him, it's like, hey, this is the situation the Titans are in. It's no, you know, no bad feelings, no remorse, no, you know, none of that. But I need to go somewhere and finish my career where, you know, I can be behind an offensive line and in an offense where I can, you know, still do my thing, because obviously he still has it.
There is no doubt about it. Brett, appreciate it as always. Enjoy watching both games tonight, and we will talk next week.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern joining us here on the program as he does every Monday, and appreciate that. We'll react to some of the things he had to say and continue to preview the Monday Night Football game between the Titans and the Dolphins coming your way tonight. And also be sure to check out the pregame show, which will be taking place tonight with Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason. It'll be at Twin Peaks in Madison, 2151 Gallatin Pike North. It's a Monday Night Football edition of the pregame show from 4 to 6 p.m. as they break down the matchup against the Dolphins. Pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint